Thank you, Beverly. If you have your Bibles tonight, if you would begin in the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter number 3 will be our starting point this evening as we continue the message from this morning. Let me just say thank you for the good attendance and for being here. And thank you for wanting to know what God's Word says. Thank you for caring about your marriage. Thank you for caring about your home. I've had all kinds of encouragement today. I appreciate that. Most of it has sounded like it wouldn't want to be you. Good luck tonight, and go get them. You've stirred them up now, and so I appreciate those good words of encouragement that have just blessed me all afternoon. And I'm just kidding you. Receiving your family. If ever there's a time where it's needed now. If ever there's an importance, today is the day of importance. If ever our homes, especially those of us that know the Lord Jesus Christ, if ever they need to be anchored upon the Word of God, it is now. If ever our marriages need to be secure, it is now. If ever there is a generation that needs to see what true biblical marriage is, it would be this generation. You turn the television on and you see anything and everything but biblical approach. And I am afraid that if we do not become concerned and we do not become concentrated in our in discipline, in our walk with the Lord and in our homes, that we're going to allow the world to dictate to us the way things ought to be. And next week in the morning service, I'm going to preach to parents and receiving your family and the responsibility of leading and loving and disciplining and correcting and challenging and presenting vision for your family. So important are these messages. Husband, receive your wife. Receiving is that which invests your heart. It's that full investment, that satisfaction. The way that a husband receives his wife is by loving his wife the way that Christ has loved the church. It's not within you, within your natural ability to love your wife. Which means if you're not spending time with God, if you're not in God's Word, if you're not submitted to the Spirit of God, if you're not walking in the Word of God, then and you do not have the mind of Christ, then you do not know how to biblically love your wife. So the man that never takes personal time to be with Christ and to be acknowledged by the Spirit cannot possibly love his wife to the fulfillment that she needs to be loved. I had a person say to me one time that he doesn't love me the way I need to be loved. So important is that a husband loves his wife the way she needs to be loved. How do I find that, Pastor? I find it as God directs me through the Word of God. So I see my wife as I love her as a gift of God. I see my responsibility to care for her, to love her, to lead her, and to act like a king and to take the responsibility of being a king. By the way, men, we are to be leaders. We should not shy from that responsibility. And I pray that you step up to be a leader. There's the thought of cleaving. And we are to leave our mother and our father. We are to leave the single life. We are to leave our selfishness and cleave unto our wife. Stick and adhere to her. She becomes your life. She becomes your joy. She becomes part of you. And to love her. The Bible said in Ephesians, love her as you love your own body is the way that you should love your wife. And then there's the thought of completeness and unity. And so I give all that in review of last week. And then we came to the women today and we asked the wife, does she receive her husband? If a wife is going to receive her husband, then the Bible commanded her to submit. The way a husband receives his wife is love, and the way the wife receives her husband is submit. I like it when the Lord gives one word directions. Love, submit. Love, submit. Submission draws love. Love draws submission. Not difficult. When you talk about submission, you're talking about the yielding of authority to another. And so the head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman is the man. And so God has placed the man as that position of authority. Does not mean that there's not equality there. We've went over that. I don't need to rehearse that. But God holds him responsible as the head. He does not hold you, wife, as responsible as the head. But he does hold you responsible as the completer, as the helpmeet, as the body. The body is not supposed to be in conflict with the head. For there to be union and for there to be joy, then there needs to be this complementariness that needs to take place. And so how does a wife receive her husband? She receives him as her head, as her authority. And we talked about the fact that authority is not punishment, it's fulfillment. We said that women want to be, all wives want to be treated like a queen. A queen has to have a king. And so we talked about the responsibility to make him feel like he's a king. Communicate to him. Crown him as king. Whether he receives it or not, whether he recognizes it or not, or understands it or not, you do. And so as you begin to crown him king, I promise you, he will begin to respond. A man is created and enabled to love a woman. He's created as protector. He was created to be a provider, provision. He was created to be a priest and a prophet. He was created to be all of these things. And so within him is that desire, ladies, to unleash that upon you. Now, sometimes he needs to be trained, and sometimes he needs discipline from the Lord and correction and all that. But when a woman can find, or a wife can find a way to unleash that through that submissive spirit, you will find him unloading upon you in those areas. And he's made to do that. He gets great thrill in doing that. Let me just stop here. Men, you're not going to like this, but the woman, you might like this. That's why your man always tries to buy you an expensive gift. My man? Not my man. Not my man. No. Don't you notice that when you go somewhere and the man wants to buy you something expensive and you recoil against that? He's showing you that God put within him a desire to provide. Do you understand that there's a protectiveness about him? And you get glimpses of this. Don't fight him. Don't. The worst thing you can do, wife, is squelch or pull cold water when your man is trying to be king to you. Well, I don't like that. I don't want that. I don't do this. Why are we going to do this? No need to do this. Don't do this. And so you got to understand and see within him, he's made that way. And so he's made to love his wife, and the wife needs to crown him as king. Submission's not inferiority. It's equality. You don't want to have the disaster of a dominating wife. We talked about becoming submissive, acknowledging the lordship of Christ, for he had that spirit of submission. By the way, God highly exalted him. And as you evidence that spirit of submission, you will find that your husband will exalt you. There is the acceptance of submission as a gift from God. Not to fight it, not to reject it, but to receive it. That's where you find your fulfillment. Activating that submission. This is a noticeable act. Now, ladies, have you noticed that your man doesn't catch on real easy? We don't always see the obvious. So you may need to grab him and hold him. And you may need to say, you know, forgive me. I haven't allowed you. I have fought you. I didn't know what I was doing. But I want you to know that I want to be a submissive wife. I want to operate in the order of God. I want for you to lead me. Now, a lot of pressure on a man to lead his wife. You should see him when I do premarital counseling and I get to this point. And I begin to tell them all the responsibilities of leading their wife. And all the blood begins to go out of that boy's face. And he realizes real quick he's in maybe a little bit over his head. But but there is somehow that activating. We talked about Jesus washed the disciples' feet, and he was evidencing to them that submissive and servant spirit. You may need to find a way to do that. It doesn't want to hurt for you to communicate. Listen, I want to receive the position that God has given to me, and I want you to have that, and I'm praying for you. Let me tell you, you tell your man you're praying for him, that God would lead, guide, and direct him. You know what the first thing he does? He runs to his closet and says, "Oh Lord God, help me." A lot of pressure on that. By the way, wife, let me tell you something. And we'll get to that. I almost got ahead of myself. Not going to do that. I got to calm down. We don't do a lot of those things because we're afraid of awkwardness. We talked about learning awkwardness. We ended with the wife who's married to an unsaved man. Does this go for you? Yes. His soul was in the balance. It's in jeopardy. Absolutely does it go for you. And so tonight I come to part two. And I want to talk to you about the joy of submission. How to enjoy what it will do for you. I understand that submission to be difficult. I understand that it's not an easy direction here. I understand that it takes work and faith and trust and grace and mercy. And I understand those things. But let me tell you, there is a joy to it. And so I got five things that I want to give to you as to what some of the blessings that I think began immediately as you begin to enjoy this position of submission. Look, if you would, Colossians chapter 3, verse number 17. The Bible says, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit, right, proper in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. Be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men's pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For ye serve," say it, class, "the Lord Christ." I think one of the first things you enjoy in submission, and you will find, is you will know the joy of the obedience to God in your life. The joy of obedience. Paul is teaching the wife that if she is to submit herself to her own husband, it's fit or proper in the Lord. He said there will be a receiving of a reward, for you do serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, when we obey the Lord and a wife has that spirit of submission, the very fact of obedience itself will bring peace to you. Peace to you. Listen, don't underestimate the value of peace. Pastor, my home is just chaotic. My mind is chaotic. My life is chaotic. My thoughts are chaotic. It just seems like everything around me is just all messed up. A lot of times when you bring that into a marriage, that's a part because a husband's not loving his wife properly and the wife does not have that submitted spirit properly. And one of the joys, the greatest joy of a believer is obeying the Lord Jesus. Obedience brings peace. It brings settledness. Let me tell you, if you know the Lord, wife, and you do not have a submissive spirit and have not yielded to your husband as the head of your home, you have to be miserable in your mind and in your spirit. You have to be convicted by God. There has to be that touch upon you. And you may try to cover it. You may try to outwork it. You may try to disguise it. You may try to do whatever you can. But there's that drive and that touch of God that's saying, "I want you to be in this position. I made you for this." Constantly there. Constantly bringing it to your attention. And one of the great joy of a wife in a submissive spirit is you have the joy of peace in obeying the Lord. Pastor, all I want is peace in my home. You will not have peace unless you are walking with the Lord in obedience. So one of the joys of submission is you have the joy of obedience to God. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. My burden and my yoke is light, and there's rest. And there's a rest for the soul. Now, let me tell you something. Wife, you will find rest in the position God created you. If you try to be the head, you're going to be filled with unrest. You weren't created for that. You were not created to be the leader. You were not created to be the provider. You were not created to be the protector. You were created to be a completer, a helpmeet. You are to be treated and esteemed as a weaker vessel. I'll get to that in a moment. Not that you're weak in your ability, but a prize, a beauty, a delight, a joy. And if you don't understand that the peace that comes to my life is being in the position where God wants me to be in this marriage, then you'll be completely full of unrest. And I don't care what you're able to accomplish physically or socially or business-wise or in that home, true obedience only comes by obeying the Lord. And so you will find that wonderful fulfillment. Pastor, is it enough to be satisfied if I'm submissive to my husband? The answer to that is yes. Why? Because God created you for that, and that's God's word. So one of the great joys is peace. Peace at knowing I'm obeying the Lord. Peace of being in the right position before God. Peace as being a completer. Speaking of completer, the second joy of submission is the joy of meeting a husband's needs. Go to 1 Peter chapter number 3. I want you to see some things here. It's important that you look at the Bible, because otherwise you're going to think, Pastor, where did you get this from? The joy of meeting a husband's needs. You see, God planned for the wife's submission to meet the needs of her husband. That was God's plan. God planned for the wife's submission to meet the needs of her husband. Many times, a lady is consumed and taken up with her own needs. And really, truthfully, it's not until she learns that submissive spirit and places herself in there, and as she becomes able to meet her husband's needs, what she finds is that in meeting her husband's needs, her needs get met. And you will find that there's this selfish mentality that says, well, I got to just care about my needs. No. In marriage, that wife is, that submissive spirit was designed to meet the husband's needs. And God made you to be thrilled about that. He made you to meet those needs. And as you meet those needs, you will find that God worked it, that your husband will begin to meet your needs. I'm convinced that not all wives understand what their need is. We let the world discuss for us what our need is, and we're not able to sit down and communicate that. And strangely enough, as a wife begins to meet her husband's needs, she finds that her own needs that are long neglected are begin to be met by their husband, who's responding favorably to that submissive spirit. Look, if you would, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wife. Now, that conversation is not your mouth, it's your attitude. It's not words, it's the way you live your life. While they, what's the next word? Behold or watch. Your chaste conversation, your chaste life, your chaste conduct, your deeds coupled with, say it class, fear. So by the Bible says, now a wife being in subjection to her own husband, and your understanding of meeting his need and him watching this chaste conduct coupled with fear and the power of God upon you, and you treating him like a king, and you being in that position of submission has power, man. It has effect. He said that it even goes so far that it can bring a man to Christ. Verse number 3, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of the apparel, but let it be the, say it wife, hidden man of the heart. in that which is not corruptible. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. All right? So Paul is saying here, or Peter is writing here, and Peter is saying, now lady, understand this. A man is not impacted necessarily by your outward beauty. Your man will never treat you like a queen because you look the part. Most of the men are saying, thank God, no more $100 haircuts anymore. Maybe when she gets over this, we'll get this. See, all of the attention on the outward, it won't have the spiritual impact on your husband. The same way that your husband can provide for you a home, a life, in his mind, all your needs, and you still be unfulfilled. The same way he can provide all of that and not receive you to love you is the same way a wife can completely focus on keeping a house clean, completely focus on keeping herself fit and proper and beautiful and all that, and completely focus on all these externals. But if you don't focus on the hidden man of the heart, if you don't have that submissive spirit, if it's not that spirit of God that is in you, that meek and quiet, that's an ornament of a great price, that impacts your man. It's that will have ability to change him, that to have ability to bring him to Christ. And as you receive that submissive spirit, you will find that one of the joys is beginning to meet your husband's needs. And Peter's teaching us that. He's saying, let it be the hidden man of the heart. Look at verse number 5. For after this manner in the old time, holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, but being in subjection unto their own husband. See, their adornment wasn't the outward. Their adornment was the inward. You want your husband to think you're beautiful? Have a submissive spirit. Be right in the hidden man of the heart. Beauty is, what's that verse in favor? Beauty, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. See, we got it all this way. We got it all backwards. And we're focusing on the outward. And really and truthfully, the outward is more of a selfish focus. It's the hidden man of the heart that proves that submissive spirit. And wife, it's that submissive spirit that will impact your husband tremendously. Sarah said, I crowned him as king. I had that. The adornment of my life was that he was my head and I was his body. I felt the joy of meeting his need. Go on, if you would, to verse number 6. It says, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. There was amazement in that relationship. There was amazement surrounded by that. Why? She had that meek and quiet spirit. Let's talk about the joy of meeting a husband's needs. I understand that a man has needs. And here I got to be careful. I don't think my son's in here, is he? Tommy, are you in here? He said, Dad, that was a little awkward this morning. Do I have to be in there tonight? I said, well, okay, no, you don't. I think a man's needs change as a man grows older and develops. Young married men, you have it. That man has a need, and probably his most basic need is intimacy. Ladies, the way a man shows his love to his wife is through intimate love. That is what that relationship is all about. Husband represents Christ. Wife represents the church. That intimate union of two becoming one is a testimony of the intimate love and the intimate relationship that Christ has with his church. God gave a man that need. God gave a man that desire and that drive. Stronger than a woman, yes, but God gave it to him. Important is it? It's the way that he communicates love. Now, here, let me work this out and give you an explanation. A lot of times, a lady doesn't need that intimate love as much as a man does. A lady needs romance. A lady might need your time, man. She might need nurture. She might need conversation. She needs to be held close. She needs to feel like she's part of you. She needs to feel secure in you. And the way that a woman communicates her love for her man is through that submissive spirit, but she communicates it differently, or how she receives love. You want to give love that way, and she receives it differently. And so the woman, the wife, needs to understand that as I meet my husband's need, then my need gets met. You know why we're having problems here and wives aren't meeting a man's intimate need? It's not necessarily because it's not physically pleasurable. Most of the time, it's their mind that is in problems. Most of our relationships are struggling in this area aren't because your body's broken. It's because your mind and your spirit is at odds. And so here's the fact. A man mistreats his wife grossly, and at night he has a need, and he expects that need to be met. The woman says, "You can't do that. You've grossly mistreated me the whole day. You've done all this. I'm not going to respond that way." And then the wife, she wants to be nurtured or romanced and all of this, but she's driven him so far with her words and her rejection and all of this, he doesn't want anything to do with that at all. So when it comes to the joy of meeting a need, as the lady responds to her husband's need and surrenders and yields to that, and that submissive spirit, understanding that how he demonstrates love, and a man is loving her properly, then you will find, ladies, as you meet that need, then the need of romance will grow, and there will be a union and a fellowship. A man loving his wife as Christ loved the church, a woman receiving her lover the way the church should receive Christ. And so the two work in harmony. As a man's needs change, sometimes there's a social need. And a man now will have a different need, and he'll want his wife to do things with her and go places with her and experience things and take up hobbies. Listen, if your husband is asking you to take up a hobby, take it up. Do it. He's expressing a need and a desire. He wants you to be with him. And so here's the problem. We get so discombobulated in our spirit, unsubmissiveness in a wife, unloving in a husband, and that is the reason we're not relating to one another's needs. That's why Paul said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." That's why he wrote later, "Submitting yourselves one to another." Husband submits to his wife, wife submits to her. The wife knows the joy of meeting her husband's need, and in the process of meeting that need, God enables the husband to meet her need. If you understand that, say amen.
Amen.
We're messed up. We're selfish in that. And let me tell you something, wife. There's much in many a man waiting to come alive when his wife's submission brings him to completion. And so the joy, when you take that submissive spirit and you say, "God, I want to fulfill the role that you've created in me as a completer," and you begin to meet your husband's needs on those levels, listen, God begins to meet your need. Go, if you would, to verse number 7 of this chapter, 1 Peter 3. "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to" what, class? "Knowledge. And giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." What is he saying? He's saying now, as the woman's responsibility is that submissive spirit, the man's responsibility is dwelling with his wife according to knowledge. And as the king sees in the queen that yielding, then that draws from the king that response. But we're so selfish and independent. "You're not going to treat me that way and get this. You don't deserve this, so I'm not going to do this." No, we are to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And the woman is to submit unto her own husband as unto the... So we do it for the Lord, for the glory of God. One of the great joys of submission is the joy that a wife has in meeting her husband's need. Look me in my four eyeballs, women. You were made for that. You were created. You weren't created to be a slave. You were created to be a completer. You will find your fulfillment in that. And that man was created to be a lover. Love draws submission. Submission draws love. God help us. Number three, there's the joy of obedience to God. There's the joy of meeting a husband's need. By the way, let me just add something to meeting a need. You better learn to express need in your relationship. You better do it. Men, you better be sensitive every time your wife says, I need. She is telling you that she needs her king to provide something for her. Now, don't get off the wall on me on this. I know every one of you would need a new wardrobe, but that's not necessarily what we're saying here. Be sensitive to that. Wife, when your husband is trying to communicate, I need you to do this. I need you to see this. I need you to hear this. He's trying to communicate. Not you need. No, I need. Pay attention to those words. Number three, the joy of showing and exemplifying the relationship between Christ and His church. And we touched on that. A submissive wife is the world's most adequate picture of the church, the bride of Jesus Christ. Your marriage should teach your children the relationship between Christ and the church. It ought to exemplify the love that Christ has for us. That husband exemplifying his love for the wife. Wife exemplifying the submission toward the man. So the joy of exemplifying the relationship between Christ. I got to hurry. Number four, the joy of a victorious atmosphere in the home. One of the immediate joys of submission is not only the joy of obedience, not only the joy of meeting my husband's needs, not only the joy of a relationship expressing that between Christ and the church, but this victorious atmosphere in the home. Peace in the home. By the way, the home where submission reigns is a place where the presence of God is filling the very atmosphere. Let me talk to you a little bit about your home, wife. You need to make sure that your husband wants to come home. Dangerous is it when that man doesn't want to come home. My wife hates dust and dirt. My wife doesn't just not like it. She despises its very existence. We're doing a little remodel project in our bathroom. Let me rephrase that. Brother Jim, Brother Willard, and my father-in-law are doing a little remodeling project. I'm praying for them. And man, the other day, I was dead dog tired. I mean tired. Two funerals, a wedding. All I wanted to do was go home. I didn't care if there was dust everywhere. I wanted to go home. Not Beverly. We got to go to the store. We got to go here. We got to go this, do this. Finally, I looked at her and I said, Bev, what is wrong? Why can't we just go home? I don't want to be there. Well, what do you mean you don't want to be there? I don't want to be there. There's dust everywhere. Everything is disheveled. I know we got this thing. My skin crawls. I just don't want to be there. Okay. All right. I'm going there without you. No, I didn't say that. All right. Let's go. Let's go. So you know when we came home? We came home when it was time to go to bed. She didn't want to be there. Why? Because she wasn't comfortable with all of that. Wife, your husband needs to want to be at home. And he will not want to be at home if the home is unpeaceful. He will not want to come home to a non-submissive spirit. That doesn't mean he can come home necessarily. And I'm not giving him just the benefit of the doubt to be crazy in all of this. And I'm not putting unbiblical pressure on you. But a man knows if he's being received or rejected by his wife. He knows it. He feels it. He thinks it. And if he feels that rejection, he's not coming home. He's not coming home. Pastor, my man always works late. My man always finds a reason not to come home. He's always out with the guys. Listen, if you keep using that word always, 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 there's a reason he doesn't want to come home. You need to ask him. Why don't you want to come home? Tell me why you don't want to come home. He may have to work. He may have to do something. I understand that. But you know when he has a reason to be out and when he doesn't. See, one of the joys of a submissive spirit is your home becomes attractive, man. It becomes an aura of peace. Your husband wants to come home. He wants to be with you. And I guarantee you, there's a lot of women in this building tonight, and you would to God that your husband wanted to be with you. Okay, then you need to understand, that's what a submissive spirit does. Amen, Pastor. It's a problem when he doesn't want to be at home. And by the way, the atmosphere in your home is not just recognized by your husband, it's recognized by all who live there. All who live there. And ladies, again, let me just say this and I'll close with one other point. Understand the power that you have. If you will learn to be and walk in that submissive spirit, your man will walk on fire for you. He will walk on fire for you. And you don't understand that within him is all of this love that he wants to let go. And you can draw it out of him. I meet with couples all the time, and I have to teach them how to talk to one another, how to say things, how to communicate. I got to teach the wives how to make their man feel respected. I tell them, listen, just do a couple of these biblical principles, and he'll come home. We had a couple in our church. Man moved out for 5 months. She came to me just weeping and crying. And we began to implement the spirit of submission. And what I never dreamed possible, and one day he just walked right through the door, and God had done a wonderful work, and God had put them together. You can trust God's word.
Amen.
You can. Understand, it doesn't have to be that direction. There's the joy of obedience to God. There's the joy of meeting your husband's needs. You will be amazed at how meeting his need will meet your need. The joy of a victorious atmosphere in the home, of peace, the relationship of Christ. And then you have the joy of a little bit of heaven on earth. By the way, marriage ought to be heaven on earth. It ought to be that way. It's a demonstration of that one day when we are married to Christ. There will be heaven on earth when God's order is established and God's order is obeyed. Pastor, my home is not heavenly. My marriage is not heavenly. If I was a wife, brother, thank God I'm not, but if I was, I would go to 1 Peter chapter 3. And I would take those first six verses and I would learn how to position myself in the spirit of submission so I could have heaven in my home. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church, and two shall become one. Let's pray.